Sorry, it'll take me a minute here. I'm not a full Britney Spears. I don't need that two-ear thing because that just drives me nuts. Hey, Merry Christmas. Today, we're going to go through a lot today because this was partially... Is that working? Can you hear me? Is that better? No, it's not. Hello. There we go. This is a two-part message because I was preaching last Sunday, and with the weather, it just was not real conducive. So here we are. I'm going to go to the Lord in prayer first before we get started. Dear Heavenly Father, I just come before you, and Lord, I ask you to just shut me down. Let me be your mouthpiece, but don't let me say anything you don't want me to say. I know the message you've laid on my heart. I know the delivery you want me to use, but Lord, just shut me down at this point. Also, I ask that you give the congregation ears to hear what you want them to hear today. As we learn more about the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In your name we pray. Amen. So there's a couple things. I don't even know what the title is. What's the bulletin say? 12 days of Christmas and then the gift, I think, right? The greatest gift. So 12 days of Christmas, this is something goofy. Chris is a TikTok aficionado. And what I mean by that is I go to bed at 9 o'clock-ish. And Chris goes to bed at 8 o'clock-ish. But doesn't go to sleep till 1 o'clock-ish. And my phone just goes all the time because she's sending me all these videos. I have cured her a little bit of this because on TikTok I found that 7 Brew has all these silly little memes and things, and I love 7 Brew coffee for those of you that haven't been there. So I just started sending everybody 7 Brew TikToks. Well, all of a sudden they quit sending me stuff because they just get frustrated because I send like 15 of them to everybody. So anyway, Chris sent me this, and I thought it was pretty cool. And it's the 12 days of Christmas. We all know the song, A Partridge in a Pear Tree, yada, yada, yada. I'm not going to sing it for you. I'm terrible. But here, I want you, this just made me think about, this is the Christian 12 days of Christmas. On the first day of Christmas, Jesus Christ, number one. The second day of Christmas represents the Old and the New Testament. The third day of Christmas is faith, hope, and love. The fourth day is the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And that's where we learn about Jesus' life, his ministry, his death. The fifth day of Christmas was the Torah, or the old law that they went by. Sixth day of Christmas, it represents the 6 days of creation. The seventh day of Christmas represents the 7 gifts of the Holy Spirit. And those are prophecy, serving, teaching, exhortation, contribution, leadership, and mercy. Eighth day of Christmas represents the Beatitudes. I'd encourage you to look those up. The ninth day of Christmas represents the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And they are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The 10th day is the 10 Commandments. The 11th day is the 11 faithful disciples after Jesus was turned over to the Roman Empire. And the 12th day of Christmas is the 12 points in belief in the Apostles' Creed. And I challenge you to look those up. I thought that was pretty interesting. And it could be a whole message on it in itself. But that's pretty cool, I thought. And if you need those lists, if you want those lists, I have it. Julie also has a copy, whatever. So now, we're going to get into the real meat of Christianity. The real reason we're here. And that's the gift that we were given the day Jesus Christ was born. We were given another gift when he died and when he resurrected. But the gift of life of Jesus Christ, our Savior, is something that was foretold. It was something that many people didn't understand at the time. So we're going to dig in here. The birth of Jesus foretold, we're going to go to Isaiah 7, and you're welcome to follow along with me. I think Julie has, maybe Julie has it. Isaiah 7, 10 through 16. And again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz. Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as Sheol or high as heaven. But Ahaz says, I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test. And he said, hear then, O house of David. Is it too little for you to weary men that you weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. He shall eat curds and honey when he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the boy knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land whose two kings you dread will be deserted. Now this was written, I looked that up because I wanted to be sure I stated that right. The book of Isaiah was written between 740 B.C. and 686 B.C. So this is 700 years before the birth of Christ this was written. If you don't think God's plan is perfect, there's another example of why everything happened the way it happened. Because God's plan, you know, and we worry about our productive life here on earth of 75, 80 years, whatever it is, 90, 100, I don't know. And we think, man, does God's plan really cover me for that 100 years? 750 years before the birth of Christ, he was telling everybody about the birth of Christ. And he never wavered. It never wavered, and it didn't change. So let's go to Micah 5, Micah 5, verse 2, I think. Or was it 20, Julie? My chicken scratch is terrible. Yeah, it's Micah 5, 2. And this is when it tells Bethlehem, hey, he's telling Bethlehem, this is where the king is going to be. But you, O Bethlehem, Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is of old, from ancient days. And again, I think it's just, it's perfect how God uses all this to show us an example. Because here's this little town, let's say Johnsville or Iberia, okay? And it's going to produce something so great. And again, it's foretold. It's planned. He had everything planned down to the exact location. You ever wonder why a town would have no hotel rooms left? See, I think that's a myth. Because when I call in and I say, hey, I want to book a hotel room, they tell me I can't go. But if I travel to that place, they tell me they're full. But if I travel and I say, look, I need a room, you know, miraculously, they always come up with one if I have cash. Right? But here it was in this day, there was no room. Because that little small town was so overwhelmed with people because they went back to the lineage to where the father of their family was originally from to be taxed. Okay? So for me, I'd be going back to Johnsville to go pay my tax. Johnsville doesn't even have a hotel. Okay, so that's where Bethlehem is. I mean, that's kind of where we're at. But now we're going to get into the meat of where we're going here, Matthew. And I'm going to read you the stories out of the Gospels here because there's different interpretations in each one or different points of emphasis in each one. But we're going to start in Matthew. Matthew 1, verses 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed or engaged to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with a child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. So our two main characters here are Mary and Joseph. Mary, a virgin, engaged to a guy, Joseph. And really, this is as in-depth as we get to know Joseph. Do we know he had some carpentry? He was a carpenter? But we really don't hear a whole lot about Joseph. But this passage right here tells you what kind of man he was. Joseph was a God-fearing man that wanted to do right by God. Okay, we'll get into Mary in a minute because I think it's important. But this is all the announcement. So Joseph gets this announcement and Joseph deals with it. And Joseph does what's right. Let's go to Luke 1. Luke 1:26-38. And this is the announcement to Mary. And I'll lay a little background here. We believe Mary to be of 15 to 17 years old here. Maybe a little younger, maybe a little older. But she was of marrying age. So we believe that that's about where she's at, 15 to 17. But here we go. The birth of Jesus foretold in chapter 1 of Luke, verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." I'm going to stop right there because I want us to understand just what God is telling, just what Gabriel is telling. Never does he really say here, "Hey, you're going to deliver a baby." But he says, "You're going to deliver a guy whose kingdom is never going to end." Now, I was 25 when I had my first child. No. Is that right? I don't know. Something like that. No, it's not right. Chris says it's not right. So 96. Yes. 71 to 96. 25. So I was 25. I cannot imagine being 16 and getting this news. I would not be ready. Okay, and we already know what Joseph's response was. Joseph could have, by law, not made a big deal and quietly divorced Mary because she was unfaithful. Okay, but because he believed in God, because he had the Word of God, and because he was sent that angel, he believed that wholeheartedly. Okay, now let's get Mary's response here. Again, this is a 16-year-old Mary. And Mary, in verse 34, "And Mary said to the angel, 'How will this be since I'm a virgin?' And the angel answered, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." We all know that to be John the Baptist, okay? We all know Elizabeth to be about 90 years old. So you got two contrasting, you got 16, you got 90. Okay? Wow, what a difference. Wow, what a difference. We also know that Elizabeth had 90. Her response to getting that news was not quite as favorable as Mary's. Because she did what? She laughed. Said, "Angel, are you goofy? I am 90 years old and I can't have kids." So she was in disbelief. Mary's response. Again, this is a 16-year-old. We're going to call her 16. A 16-year-old in verse 38. "And Mary said, 'Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word.' And the angel left her." It was that simple for Mary. Although she was troubled, it was that simple for Mary. And so many times in our lives, as Christians, young Christians, old Christians, middle-aged Christians, whatever, God asks us to do something, and man, we come up with 1,000 reasons why we can't. I love the story of Jesus. I love the Gospels because every time there's a decision to be made that was made by God, there was never any question they were going to do it. And it gives me an example in my life. Okay? And it's not always that there's no question, because we all know Jesus prayed for what? At the end of his days, he prayed, "Lord, your will, but take this yoke from me." Right? So that gives us the example that we can say, "Hey, I don't like this, but if it's your will, let's do it." Mary didn't bat an eye. Mary did not bat an eye. She was scared. She was troubled, but she did not bat an eye. She said, "Let it be so." How many of us in Mary's situation would have done the same thing? We'd have probably, I don't know, an angel appears to me at night when I'm sleeping, I'm probably going to lose my mind a little bit, right? I've had dreams where I think somebody's talking to me and I lose my mind. It blows my mind. And it's not even somebody like an angel appearing to me. It's somebody from my past, or it's somebody from my present that I know. There's no way they're talking to me in the middle of the night. So I wake up a little alarmed. But Mary said, "You know what? I want it to be just like you said." That requires an immense amount of faith. Now let's get into Luke chapter 2. And please read the rest of Luke chapter 1, because it goes through a whole dialogue between Mary and Elizabeth, and Mary ends up singing this song about how blessed she is, and it's pretty cool interaction. But I wanted to get to the story here, the whole story. In Luke chapter 2, we're just going to read. "In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered to Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn." We've already talked about the no place in the inn. But if you think about Jesus' birth, where Jesus actually started from, it was very humble, humble beginnings. And we have the nativity scene here. You know, you look at who's here in the nativity scene, and you see the sheep, you see the donkeys, you see the cow. I think actually that was an oxen. And actually, those are three very, very peaceful animals. You know, the donkey, they're a little hard-headed. I got a story to tell you about donkey. But they're quiet animals. The sheep are quiet animals if they're with their shepherd. The oxen is a pretty cool animal. But nothing extravagant there. You know, there could have been a zebra and a giraffe there. Why not? The plan was Jesus came humbly into this world. He came from very humble beginnings. Born in Bethlehem, a very small town. Born in a manger, a very humble beginning. Those are important because as we go through Jesus' life and we try to find someone to believe in, why not believe in somebody that came from nothing and became Savior of the world? It's pretty cool. Pretty cool. Now, this trip that they went on, it was about 90 miles, I believe, from where they were to where they were going. By donkey, who knows how long that takes. Hopefully it was not Fackler. Fackler is a donkey that I had in my house many years ago. I don't remember how long ago. And he was used to living with horses. And this thing thought he was a horse. Neil and Kelly have a donkey. He think he a horse too? Or is he a Highlander cow? Okay, they adapt to who they're with. Well, as it so turned out, we decided to turn a 7-year-old weather sheep in with him. And Fackler didn't like that sheep. Fackler jumped the fence. It was on about December 22nd, 23rd, real close to Christmas. It was snowing. I get a call from my brother. He says, "Hey, is a donkey in the pasture?" I think. And he laughs and he says, "Well, there's a guy in my driveway that says he hit a donkey." So I go out. You know, it's cold. I go out. I check the pasture. Fackler is not in the pasture. So now I'm thinking, oh my. And this isn't even my donkey. It's somebody else's donkey. They're just letting me house him. So I said, okay, so I get bundled up, Carhartt's, sweatshirt, Carhartt coat, stocking cap, gloves, boots, the whole nine. And somebody takes me up 19 because they said they had a donkey sighting up on the corner of 19. So I get there where I see this cable van, like Armstrong cable, and a guy standing there with coaxial cable tied through the donkey's harness to hold the donkey where he was. He said he just kind of stood in the middle of the road. I pulled off and he let me walk. I said, "Oh yeah, that's Fackler." So I understand what Joseph's pain was because, you know, this was just past the big curve on 19. I don't know, probably a half mile from my house. I decide I don't want to walk Fackler on the road. I think, oh, it's better just to go right through that field of Howard Killen's field across the street or across the road from us. And I think, yeah, that's the shortest path. That's how we're going to go. It's snowing. It's miserable. And let me tell you, when donkey don't want to walk, donkey don't walk. Little known fact, anybody here raise steers? Larry raises steers. You halter break any? Or you just put them on a truck? Put them on a truck. That's the easiest way. So I've seen videos of guys trying to sell donkeys. And you know what they got? They got this like collar. And they tie this steer, 400, 500 pound steer, to this donkey to halter break the steer. That tells you the strength of these donkeys, right? Because where the donkey goes, the steer goes. Where the steer goes, he don't get very far because the donkey digs his heels in and sits. So that was me coming through this field, and I thought it was a short distance. But you know, as we look at this field, and if you're ever going down 19, I challenge you just to look off on that field. You don't think it's very hilly. Let me tell you, it's hilly. And I was tempted to ride Fackler, but I was afraid I'd break my neck, so I didn't. I walked him across. I finally got him home, and there was a stock trailer waiting in my yard. Shelly Pete came to pick Fackler up because we were not going to be able to corral him. But the state patrolman had then come to my brother's house to see this guy's car. And I go over, and the state patrolman just laughs. He's like, "I have never in my life had this experience before." I said, yeah, me either. He said, this guy's saying he hit a donkey? I said, yes, sir, he did. The donkey jumped out of my fence, took off running up the road, and evidently hit this guy's car. $7,200 worth of damage to this guy's car. Luckily, it wasn't my donkey. He was insured. Didn't come back on me. But I understand Joseph's pain. I understand how going a half mile took me 45 minutes. Okay, so going 90 miles, I don't know. In a car, we think, oh, that's an hour and a half, hour and 45 minutes, right? This was probably a day's journey. A day's plural, like multiple days. It wasn't one day. So there was a lot of planning, a lot of things that had to go into Mary and Joseph getting to Bethlehem. Again, if you think God's plan for your life isn't perfect, think about all the intricacies of this story alone. Okay? So they get there, they have the baby in the manger. And we also know that when we're traveling, and I'll share, Wingers just got back from Texas. Sorry, Braden. In typical son-in-law fashion, Braden has to make an appearance. Braden gets stuck behind an accident, correct? While he's out working Monday, and they're flying out Monday night. And Brittany texted Chris and said, I don't know if Braden's coming. I don't know because he's stuck. And we left to go to the airport. So the trips are hard. Good news is Beth saves the day, as moms do all the time, as Mary did here. Beth gets Braden to the airport. I think Braden just didn't want to sit around in the waiting area because Brittany said he showed up, he got processed, and 20 minutes later we were boarding the flight. That's a good plan right there, Braden Black. That's a good plan. But that is, again, the plan God has. I don't know why Braden got held up. Braden probably got stuck behind that because God didn't want him to go somewhere else and be in a hurry and try to rush and get there. God's plan was perfect that day. He made it in time. He got on the flight. He went to see Jax graduate. Pretty cool story to tell later on, too. Braden will always have a spot around the Winger table because of the distance his mother was willing to go to get him there. And that's just what moms do. You know, we had Christmas last night with the boys and the girls and the older boys. My house is about 250 pounds lighter than it was before. Because I thought we were back in, I thought we had about 12 kids celebrating Christmas when you looked under the tree. Most of that's my fault. Because when you leave me to my own devices, and I got these two little dudes that absolutely I adore. There's no budget for Christmas when it's Beckett and Harvey. Everybody else got two gifts. The boys were about 2 hours worth of opening stuff. But Chris makes all that possible. It was important that Jesus had a mother that was willing to go the extra mile. Because Mary, she didn't have any experience. She didn't have any pre-qualifications that qualified her to be the mother of the Savior of the world. You know what she had? A willingness. A willingness. And that's what mothers have. Chris and I were sitting around after everybody left last night, and we said, yeah, you know, it's kind of over. It's so quick. All that preparation, all that planning, all that whatever, and it's over so fast. Guys, my challenge to you is take this Christmas story and enjoy it 365. Because we learned in Sunday school today, God is forever. God is forever. We cannot just make this about one day. And Doug hit it. We have to go out. We have to share our hope, our love, our peace, and our joy. 365. And I feel kind of bad because I saw Lisa yesterday. I saw her from a distance. She was shopping at Kroger, which, man, Lisa, you're brave to go out on a Saturday before Christmas and shop. But I was lugging pallets, and I didn't get a chance to speak to her. But the distance the mothers go to make everything perfect. Now I want you to understand that your God is going to go eternity times further to make your plan perfect. And if you really think about that, that's humbling. Because God chose us to have that relationship. And we're not going to get into, but also there in the stable were the shepherds that were called. And they were called away from their flocks to come and see. And they appeared by an angel as well. And what did they do? They left their flock and went. That's our example as Christians. When we are asked or tasked by God to do something, our job is to leave what we're doing and go. Whether that be overseas missions, whether that be missions here in Morrow County, whether that be, you know, helping one person. If God asks you to do it, drop what you're doing and go. Because we have the example. The other people that were there were the wise men. And they're kind of a neat story because they were sent by the king because he wanted to kill baby Jesus. These guys were sent by the king. An angel appeared to them in a dream and said, do not go back to him. Because he wants to create harm for the baby. So again, that's just another facet in that plan. God's plan is perfect. Don't try to change it. Be like Mary and say, okay, God, I'm on board. Let's go. You know, 10 years ago, God was like, Matt, I want you to give devotions. And I bucked at that. If he'd have said, Matt, I want you to get up and preach, I'd be like, hey, no thanks, God. But he works on you. He puts you in situations to make you understand his will is perfect. And I can tell you, I learn more from preaching every other Sunday than you're ever going to get from me preaching every other Sunday, if that makes sense. I have grown so much more since I said, okay, God, I'll do it. I was like Mary. I said, okay, God, I'll do it. Our willingness to believe the story from infant start to death on the cross to resurrection to eternity. You know, people ask, why do Christians not grieve as hard as the rest of us when someone dies? You know, Stan's perfect example. Stan's been ready to go for 6-7 months. Stan is home. Stan is not hurting. Stan is not suffering. He is home for eternity. Eternity. Think about it. Eternity. Will we miss Stan? Sure. Yeah, absolutely. You sit down and talk to him, you can get a life's worth of learning in about 2 hours. but we know where he is for eternity because of this story, this Christmas morning, and this story, that Black Friday, and this story, that Easter morning. And his plan is perfect. I challenge you to go out and share God's love this week. Go out and share God's story for your life this week. And we're going to sing a song of invitation. And if you have something you need prayer for, if you have a praise that you want to share, we like to hear those as well. If you have any need you currently have and you want to bring it to us, it's not because we're any closer to God, but it's the symbol of coming forward and giving God what you have going on that's important. You don't have to come forward to do that. Give it to him in your seat. The reason we ask you to come here is because we love to pray for you. You know, when you come forward, you're not just prayed for this morning, but you're prayed for every day of the week until we know that that problem or conflict has been resolved by God. So if you don't know that story of Jesus, if you don't know that you have that relationship with Jesus, and you don't know where you're going for eternity, there is no day like today. Any one of us would be more than happy to lead you through that, to help you through that, to guide you through that. Because I'm telling you, that is the best decision I ever made in my life, and I got a bunch of good decisions sitting in my house. But that is the single most best decision I've ever made. We'll close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I just come before you, and Lord, we thank you so much for the story of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and how everything had to be so perfect in that plan for him to get to be born where he was, and how all those things tie together and speak to us in volumes. Lord, we thank you for his life. We thank you for his death. We thank you for his resurrection. And most importantly, we thank you for our eternity with him in heaven. Lord, just keep Stan's family in prayer this week as they're going through loss, but put them at ease knowing that Stan is where he's supposed to be, by your side for eternity. In your name we pray. Amen.